Sadam, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. As the new year begins, there is this new vigor, there is this new determination, there is this new enthusiasm to walk on the path, there is this new determination that this year, I will do this for my Bhagwan. This year, I will follow this message of Bhagwan and make it a part of my life. This year, I will ensure that I look after my body well so that I can do God's work. This year, I will keep Bhagwan as my priority over everything else. This year, I will start reading, understanding, assimilating, and putting into practice at least some tenets of Bhagwan's message that he has so beautifully left for us in the volumes of these Vahinis. And often I find people now more eager than ever before to understand Bhagwan's teachings, because what is left after the form is gone is only the word. And in the Vahinis, you have his word coming straight from his pen with no intermediary in between. After so many sessions of Premavahini, 108 sessions when we embarked on Sandeha Nivarini, it was a different experience, because here Bhagwan himself is asking the questions and as the Divine Master, he is answering them. And week after week, as we were listening to the questions and the answers that Bhagwan was giving, it helped to clear the cobwebs in our minds. And when we came to chapter 7, here for a change, the devotee says, Bhagwan, I don't have any more doubts. And Bhagwan says, very good. When no doubts come, when there are no doubts entertained by you, that is purity. In fact, Bhagwan says, understand that when these doubts do not come of themselves, nor are they entertained by you, that is to be considered as purity. So that is definitely the state. If you have doubt, you are out, as they say. And here, Bhagwan, then acceding to the prayer of the devotee, gives some of the principal central messages of his philosophy. What it is to be a Sai devotee. What is it that Bhagwan expects from us? And Bhagwan goes on to narrate so many points, and this is what we broke into different segments, 7.1, 7.2, and today we are in 7.3. In the previous episode 2, we were discussing the first few points of 7.3, and today we will once again listen to this segment, 7.3. And we'll pray to Bhagwan to be with us and guide us to understand and assimilate whatever he wants that would be good for us in our spiritual journey. Joining us in the satsang today is Brother Shyam. Brother Shyam Kumar is from Chennai. He had the opportunity to do his graduation, post-graduation, also his master's in technology, M.Tech, in Bhagwan's university. And after he completed his M.Tech here, he has been now in Chennai and he works for HCL. We also have Brother Bhargav joining us, someone who is very familiar to all the listeners of Vahini Satsang. So let's listen to segment 7.3 and then we'll see how Bhagwan guides this discussion.
Try to keep under check the five sins that the body commits. Killing, adultery, theft, drinking intoxicants, and meat eating. The sacred life can reach the highest if these can be completely avoided. 16. One must be always vigilant, without a moment's carelessness, against the eight sins that the mind perpetrates: kamam or lust, krodham or anger, lobham or greed, moham or attachment, mada or ego, envy, hatred and pride. Man's primary duty is to keep all these things at a safe distance. 17. When in pursuit of wrong actions, man's mind acts hurriedly. During these times, without allowing the mind to go its way, remember the name of the Lord and attempt to do some good deed or the other. Those who do thus will certainly become fit for the grace of the Lord. 18. First, give up the evil tendency to feel envious at the prosperity of others and the desire to harm them. Be happy that others are happy. Sympathize with those who are in adversity and wish for their well-being. This is the sign of God's love present in you. 19. Patience is all the strength that man needs. 20. Those who aspire for happiness must be engaged in good deeds. 21. It is easy to conquer anger through love, attachment through reasoning, falsehood through truth, bad through good, and greed through charity. 22. Do not respond to the words of the wicked. It is good to keep them at a distance. In fact, do not have any relationship with such people. 23. Seek the company of good men, even at the cost of your honor and life. However, pray to God to bless you with the discrimination needed to distinguish between the good and the bad. You must also endeavor to do this with the intelligence given to you. 24. No doubt, those who conquer kingdoms and earn fame in the world are hailed as heroes. But truly, those who have conquered the senses must be acclaimed as the conquerors of the universe. 25. The results of one's action, whether good or bad, continue to always pursue man. 26. Greed yields only sorrow. Contentment is best. There is no happiness greater than contentment. 27. The evil manipulations of the mind has to be uprooted, else it will ruin life itself. 28. Bear with fortitude both loss and grief, and search for that which will benefit you and grant you joy. 29. When you are invaded by anger, practice silence or remember the name of the Lord. Do not remind yourself of things which will inflame the anger more. That will do incalculable harm. 30. From this moment, avoid all bad habits. Do not delay or postpone. they do not contribute the slightest joy or happiness.
So, I think each point is so loaded, isn't it?
Yes,
absolutely.
So you just feel that we can go on discussing just one point for an hour and you'll never still be done because everything is that of that nature. In the last episode, you know, we were trying to discuss about these point 15, 16 when Bhagavan is talking about how you should keep away from theft, drinking intoxicants, meat eating, and also then Bhagavan talks about the eight sins, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, and then Swami adds hatred, pride. And Swami says it's man's primary duty to keep all this at a safe distance.
Yes.
You don't have a choice. It's your duty actually to keep.
No, in fact, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, when he speaks about three different doors to hell, he mentions Trividham Narakasyedam Dwaram Nashanam Atmanaha. There are three doors to hell which will ruin oneself. Kama, Krodhas, Tatha, Lobaha. So, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, the three among the eight vices that Swami has mentioned here, those three, Tasmad Eta Trayam Tyajet. So, because of this, just leave them. So, that's exactly what Swami repeats here.
Yes, absolutely.
And one more thing which comes to my mind, seeing this in 15, 16, just to have a look at them. Swami says one must be always vigilant without a moment's carelessness. And it's not very easy to actually do that, you know, keeping your mind always busy in something. So Swami actually gives a beautiful hint or a beautiful suggestion how to actually get it. So he talks about the Ashtanga Yoga of Patanjali. In that he talks about the different steps.
Yes.
And he says Yama is something, you know, the first step is Yama. Yama is control. So you control your mind. But Swami says mind is, the nature of mind is like water. It always flows down. You control it, it'll stop. With a moment of carelessness, what Swami says immediately it'll flow down. So then he says only Yama is not important. We should always double it up with Niyama. Niyama means practice. And Swami says so beautifully, Swami says Niyama is nothing but fire. Niyama makes the mind, like how you know fire will always go higher. It never go down. So he says the combination of the mind should be, the nature of mind is like liquid, like water, but you always provide it fire so that it always goes up and always remains in check. And a beautiful way of doing it, Swami says, if you get any thought, you always try to replace it with a good thought.
Yes.
With a better thought.
Yes.
And leave aside what Swami says, it's about spirituality and things like that. But if you just take, I think you might be aware of that, a classic experiment in Stanford University about marshmallow.
Yes.
A small kid, it was so easily reflected in that also that, and if you just know, just briefly I'll tell the experiment. There was the marshmallow experiment done by one of the psychologists in Stanford University. What he tried to do was, he got some small kids in a room and told, okay, one by one, he'll tell, if you are here, I'll give you this one marshmallow. Marshmallow is a sweet. I'll give you. But if you stay, I'll put the marshmallow in front of you. But if you see it and don't touch it for a particular period of time, might be 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I will give you two, not one. And he told, okay, he kept it in that condition and left. And interestingly, what he found, the boys, the kids who were not able to, who were able to resist the temptation of eating that marshmallow and wanted to get the second one, what he found was that they were able to try to distract their mind, seeing somewhere else, not seeing the marshmallow which is kept on the table, seeing the wall, thinking of something else, doing something which, so that mind doesn't come back onto the marshmallow. Mind, trying to keep the mind engaged in something other than the marshmallow. So, this is fine. This is a very mundane experiment if you actually talk. And then what he found was those people who were able to keep their mind away from the object of temptation, they had a study, and he found that those people had stronger willpower. They were able to take the decisions more strongly. So just, this is might be an, as I told, mundane level. If you just go it, take it little higher, like how Swami says.
Yes.
Any bad thought comes, probably do a namasmarana. Remember Swami. Or probably add a good thought, which will actually remove the bad thought.
Yes.
So that might be a very good way, because Swami always says the number of Kauravas are 100, but the Pandavas are only 5.
Mm.
So he has mentioned some 8 or 9, so many negative qualities. But I think one name of Swami can take care of all those things. So probably that's the best thing for us to do. If you just put that thought of God or Swami in our mind, I think it'll take care of all these negativities which are there.
Absolutely.
So as Swami started in the 16th point,
yeah,
one must be always vigilant.
Mm.
Okay, so as you mentioned, as Bhargav brother mentioned, we engage ourselves in multiple activities.
Mm.
How do we then make sure that the mind is not getting distracted and going away?
Mm.
So Swami gives an example again. He says, if a mother takes a child to say a beach, On the beach, the mother is sitting, probably arranging a mat and getting the eatables ready, snacks ready. But at the same time, probably she is chit-chatting with her friend who is also sitting on the mat. But at the same time, her eyes would also be on the child,
yes,
that is playing on the waves.
Yes.
That's exactly, if something happens to the child, it falls or it attempts to get into the sea, then the mother rushes to it.
Yes.
Swami says that is how we should be. The mind very easily gets distracted and it can go into a spiral.
True.
So that's how, the ever vigilant is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, in fact, Bhagwan used to also talk about how in the older days, the ladies would have pots on their heads, right?
Yes, yes.
And correct. Carry the baby in their arm and keep doing something else with the other hand.
Yes.
And still everything is, in balance.
Yes.
I mean, that is how the concentration should be, when it comes to vigilance. But I think the point that you raised, brother, I think without a moment's carelessness, one must be always vigilant. That is what connects to the next point, if you see, where Bhagwan is telling, when in pursuit of wrong actions, man's mind acts hurriedly.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that many of us would have experienced.
And it's so interesting because Swami, because he's Swami, he knows exactly the working of each of our minds. So
he's the manufacturer.
Yeah. So what he's trying to tell here is, whenever you do anything wrong, your mind always says, "Come on, do it fast."
Correct.
Who knows? Swami will. Because oh my God, God is there, or someone will come and see, or something will happen.
Mm.
So you'll always try to do it very fast because there'll be always an element of fear, an element of guilt, probably in you.
Mm.
So beautifully has put, when in pursuit of wrong actions, man's mind acts hurriedly because you want to do it so that no one sees it. Or I don't know, something like that.
Before the goodness in you takes over
and says, "Don't do this."
Yes, exactly.
No, in fact, I am an analogy just is coming into my mind.
Mm.
So it's assume that we are driving a car.
Yes.
Okay. And say we are at a very high speed, say 100 kilometers per hour on a highway. And suddenly you see that somebody or some animal is just crossing the road.
Mm.
We have to apply the brake immediately. What happens, the action that we take immediately, the reaction that we take immediately is a cause for many of the accidents. What do we do? Rather than pressing our foot on the brake, we press it on the accelerator itself.
Mm.
That's the immediate reaction. We just push.
In panic.
In panic, exactly. So that's where the problem is.
Mm.
If we have that stillness of mind.
Correct.
Or if we are able to be vigilant with the mind, immediately you would apply a brake with full of control. Mm. Rather than pressing the accelerator, which will again take you towards the wrong direction of probably hitting the object or the person in front of you.
Mm.
I think Shambhadra is a very good, accomplished driver, I think. He has driven long distances, I think.
true. I mean, since you talked about driving, one other thing that came to mind is, you know, especially in cities, you are many times stranded because of traffic. So there was this person who was driving and, you know, is frustrated that vehicle is not moving and there is so much of traffic jam. And, you know, in utter exasperation, he says, you know, if this much time, you know, I would have actually written a book, that much time we are wasting in this car. And the other person just did not react. Okay. And he said, I'm talking to you. You know, are you not irritated? And that person says, just wait, I am talking. What? You're talking? You're talking to whom? I don't see you talking to anyone. I said, no, I'm talking. Just wait. I have to finish this. Then he says, after some time, with whom were you talking? I was talking to God. What were you doing? What were you saying? You know, every time there is a traffic jam, I take this opportunity to pray for someone. And you can't imagine the number of people I have prayed for in all these days. Every time we are stuck up like this, you know, I just stick to Him and pray. And my prayer list is very long.
It's wonderful. So every moment that he breaks at a traffic jam, he thinks, that's
extra time to pray for someone.
Yes. Exactly. No, somebody had forwarded a message for the new year. So they said, what is this new year bringing to you? Was the question. And the answer was 365 possibilities.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So this is, for this person, it is
yes.
Every moment of jam.
Yes.
Is going to give him an opportunity to pray. That's wonderful.
So you know, at that time, it is a natural reaction to get angry. It's a natural reaction to, you know, curse the local municipality, to the government, to the prime minister, to the whole creation. You know, that's how it goes. But, you know, you can just utilize that opportunity. Swami is saying, no, without allowing the mind to go its way, the mind will do that. Mind will get angry. Mind will try to put the blame on someone.
Yes.
But without allowing the mind to go that way, remember the name of the Lord. Can you think of the Lord? And attempt to do some good deed. You yes. know, imagine the peace, the satisfaction, and the merit that you accrue. In fact, I'm talking about this, just comes to mind that Swami says, you know, when you go to the bank, when will the bank give you money? The bank will give you money on three conditions, on three situations. First is when you have money in your account, which you have deposited earlier. The second situation is when either your parents or someone relative or your grandparents, someone has kept money for you and it's in your name, so the bank will not have a problem giving you. If there is no money of yours, if there is no money of your parents or your relatives, then the only other way the bank will give you, Swami says, is someone stands as a guarantor for you.
Yes.
Then bank says, fine, if this person can stand for you, we are okay to give you money. Swami says, to receive the grace of God also, there are three situations. Mm-hmm. So one is, you should have done some good deed. And so that fetches you. Draws divine grace to you. Second is, if not you, at least the merit of your parents, of your grandparents, of your ancestors, all that is there. If they have done that, you know, we are what we are, as Swamishtha always says, because of the parents. Blood do for do, Swamishtha always say, how everything is because of our parents. If they have done that, you know, if that is accrued, then you can draw from that grace. And I remember, even though we cannot look at it only in this dimension, but I have seen so many students, you know, who would receive so much from Bhagwan, is because their grandparent or great-grandfather, someone came to Swami way back in the 40s or 50s, and then, you know, and Swami would just keep remembering that thing, you know. Something that grandfather had done in way back in the 50s for Swami, that now that boy, this boy has joined in 90s, and Swami still remembers that, and Swami still keeps showering grace on this boy. And you look at this boy and you feel, this boy does not deserve anything. You might feel like that. But, you know, for Swami, as I say, you know, once you do something for God, like for seven generations He will take care.
Mm.
He's like that.
It's like, you know, Swami says, my grace is like insurance.
Mm, exactly. So. Exactly. So that is the second condition where, you know, if there is something in your account by someone else, then you can get the grace of God. And the third, Swami says, is if someone prays for you. If someone prays for you, like someone standing as a guarantor,
mm-hmm.
then also you can draw the grace of the divine.
So that's whatever wonderful. You told about that.
I just then. Remembered that mm-hmm. because, you know, we don't know the good act that we are doing by just giving a few minutes. It's a few minutes which would have been just wasted trying to think about something unpleasant and trying to think about something negative about the city, about the politician or about the lawmaker or yeah. about the administrator. We just use that time to pray for someone. Pray for that person. You pray for that administrator, pray for that lawmaker, or pray for that officer. You know, pray for the traffic police inspector. Probably you will be doing much more good.
Mm-hmm.
And probably some transformation might just happen. Maybe somebody will get inspired to do something. We never know. Absolutely. That is the power of prayer. And I just remember that because, you know, it is always our tendency to find fault with someone and become negative when something yeah. happens.
But, you know, in few of us, of our cases, when we are driving in such a heavy traffic, I would like to, you know, give a word of gratitude to Radio Sai. Most of us are tuned to some downloaded episodes or the live streams. So, no, this thing doesn't occur. The point of irritation doesn't occur at all, thanks to Radio Sai.
So, you're just listening more, listening yeah. to more of the satsang.
Exactly.
More intensely.
Exactly, with more of concentration. And
that's interesting.
But when you told about doing a good deed,
yes,
and someone prays for you, like in case of Swami, like you, even if you do something without your knowledge also, so many times Swami showers. I think we had a couple of years back, we had discussed this, but I thought it's very pertinent. About one of our senior brothers, he had shared this with us, that he used to read Satcharitra quite often. Every day he used to read one chapter of Satcharitra, Shirdi Sai Satcharitra. And then his sister had an eye problem. She had having some problem in the eyes and it was a little serious. So this brother was very worried about it. But he, as a habit, like as you told that, as a habit, whenever there's a traffic jam, he'll just pray for someone. So not praying for someone, just he used to read Satcharitra very sincerely every day in the evening or night. Every day one chapter. So, and during that particular period of time, he was a little worried because anxious that his sister's eyes, some problem was there. Swami comes in his dream and he says, do you want me to use the merit which you have accrued by reading the Satcharitra to cure your sister? Is it okay with you?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Swami is asking me, what else you want?
Tell,
yes, Swami, this is yours. You can do whatever you want. You don't ask me. Tell, no, I should ask you. If you say okay, I'll use this.
Mm-hmm.
So this brother was telling that it is so fascinating to know that maybe after that, not immediately, in a couple of weeks or something, he underwent whatever little bit of procedure or some treatment, but her eyes came back to normalcy and she was fine.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do a good deed,
yes.
and you never know how Swami will use it, and then he'll ask your permission also, should I use it or not? So
God.
Sweet of him. So he asked his brother and then he says, Swami, this is... I am doing it for your preeti, doing it for your sake.
Yes.
It's up to you to do whatever you want with it.
Yes.
But the one thing is this, one thing is your, whatever you do, Swami always keeps it in your balance.
Yes.
Second thing is, so sweet of him that he takes a permission also.
Yes.
Should I use it or not? Because this is your money,
yes.
should I cross it to someone else or not?
Yes. Wow. I think that's very beautiful. In fact, as I was also reading one scene from Ramayana also flashes my mind, you know. Swami says how man's mind acts hurriedly. I mean, if you look at the story of Vali from the Ramayana, you know, when Vali finally came out of the cave after killing that demon, he was in anger and he acted hurriedly, he acted in haste, not listening to Sugriva, not listening to the explanation, not even giving any credit, any merit to what was being said. You know, he was so much filled with anger, and that anger was so misplaced, and he acted in haste.
Blinding.
And how the other thing also is, you know, when you do one wrong act, it actually leads you to do many more in that hasty situation. Like, for example, if you're just starting from the house one morning, you know, and say the spouse says something, you know, when before going, can you please do these two, three things, you know, go to the shop and finish this job, and then go to the tailor, finish the job, and then go. And you are hurrying to office, you know. And so you can always, if you're not comfortable with what she has said or he has said, then you will say, why do you tell me everything in the last minute? You know, there's so much time left. I can, you know, every time when I start to the office and I am rushing to the office, I'm already late, and you ask me to do 10 things to do. And if I don't come back in the evening, then you'll have a problem. You don't plan well, you know, and why do you do this? You know, it can be a situation like this where, you know, you get agitated and you start shouting, you know, that you don't plan, and then the other person can feel that, you know, every time I ask you to do something, you know, you have a problem. You don't, every planning I have to do, you can't do any planning. You know, it can go on.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so that whole discussion can lead to something, and he can just go off in a huff and say, I'm not coming for lunch, huh? You just manage on your own. I just don't feel like coming home because I'm just starting on such a bad note. I don't want, you just manage, you know. And then the whole day is spoiled for both of them. You know, he will not have his proper lunch, and the wife, who should always have lunch together with the husband, now has to be alone, and, you know, she will not be in a frame of mind to do something else also, which she would have otherwise done, you know. So it is just a situation where what could have been solved in a very amicable manner, you know, this person could have just very simply also said yes. And even if he's not able to do, you know, you can just call back and say that, you know, I wanted to do this, but I'm just rushing to the office. I will look into it, or finish one thing, or do. There are so many ways of doing it without getting angry, you know. But if you lose it at that moment, then the whole day is lost, and then you get angry, then you will get hungry, you know. And when hunger and anger when they mix, then, you know, the lunch that day will be a normal lunch, you know. Again, that whole morning episode will come back in your mind when you're having the lunch, because, you know, you're not having a proper lunch, the usual lunch, and then the hunger will mix with anger and it'll become hangry, and then that'll become even more dangerous. Your BP will go up. And I'm just saying, you know, it can lead to anything.
The hurry, worry and curry will start playing.
So, but I think these are daily situations where, you know, I think we have seen this also in these times with smartphones, you know. It is so tempting. Every time, you know, you're probably seeing one video and then some other video pops up. And, you know, sometimes you cannot control the resistance, you know, and you go into that and you'll see that, then you'll see something else, then something else. Then it'll just, what you thought probably was a 5 minutes viewing time probably would have just become a 50 minutes viewing time, actually.
Yeah.
It's quite possible, and it's not easy to rein in the mind at that point in time. And it needs so many years of cultivation to actually control the mind. And I think that is the reason why Swami is telling, when in pursuit of wrong actions, see that mind to listen to a satsang when you're seeing the video, it will not go, but something else it will run, actually.
Yes.
That is how the mind is. And that is the reason why Swami is telling the mind will act hurriedly. So at that point in time, I think we should tell, you know, suppose you have seen this video, okay, some other video is popping up now. I think probably we should tell the mind, okay, just give me, you know, just hold on. I have to do Gayatri Mantra thrice before I can see another video, probably. Or I have to just chant Swami's, I have to do Sairam 21 times before I can watch one more. Because at least give the time to mind to collect itself, collect its energies.
So that you don't react.
So that you don't, you know, so that you don't go with the flow of the mind, and ensure that the mind is consulting the buddhi before again taking that action.
That's what, now, when Swami speaks about Trikarana Shuddhi, or the purity, the three levels of purity, that is, thought, word and deed, how do you put them together in synchrony, harmonizing them? Swami says, usually the thought arises out of the mind, So when it arises out of the mind, don't immediately encourage it. Put it through the heart.
Mm.
So once it gets to the heart, that's where it can, you know, you can probably, you know, use the intellect and all that to discriminate and then proceed. To do this, you know, a mind has arisen, a thought has come up in my mind, and that has to go through the heart. For this, we need to cultivate stillness of mind. How do we cultivate that stillness of mind? That's where Swami says we need daily sadhana. So, you know, because of my association with the organization, Satya Sai Seva organization, I always go back to the 9-point code of conduct that Swami has given for the members of the organization. The very first point, which is like the crown jewel, I would say, is daily sadhana. You know, daily japam dhyanam for some time. So that really helps us to develop this calmness of mind. And once that happens, automatically it goes through the heart. But not always, you know, even for a person with still mind, it's difficult at certain situations. You know, like you mentioned that husband is getting angry. So at that point in time, like you said, if we counter it with a prayer, that's where heart comes up.
Yes.
The mind goes down. So that would encourage the thought go through the heart, and then, you know, it results in a good result.
Absolutely.
Now, incidentally, I'm not sure how many had seen the drama, alumni drama that was staged yesterday in
January 1st, 2020.
Mm-hmm. So the name of the title was actually The Choice.
Yes. Yes.
So as part of that, one of the dialogues is that the protagonist, he sees his Kanha. The protagonist is from Vrindavan or Gokul, where he sees Krishna in his childhood days, his Kanha. And the other side is the Krishna, Lord Krishna, who is the king of Dwaraka. So he has a lot of dilemma. So there, in that sequence, is one of the beautiful dialogues which says, one is the mind, another is the heart. You should choose what you listen to. So that's very, very important. So how do we choose heart over mind? I think for that, we definitely need sadhana.
Just to add to, like, when you hear choice, is like on a very beautiful episode in, we call as Parvati, Shiva Parvati Kalyanam. There's a episode where what happens is, Daksha Prajapati was not always happy with Shiva. Because according to him, he's like a person who has got, who doesn't have proper clothes. He's a beggar. He stays Smashana. In the smashana. And then there is a description of what all are the Shivaganas. Like, they'll have goblins, they have ghosts, pishachas, people with one eye, people with eye on the stomach, two hands, two heads. All these things are the army, the entourage of Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
There's a beautiful description that when they'll be coming, the Bharati, you know, the one when they come, when the groom is coming to the bride's, to Mother Parvati's place for the marriage. The beautiful description is there in the Ramcharitmanas that they say, my God, Daksha will see and say, this person is going to be my son-in-law. See his entourage. You will see all horrifying figures around him. So this is what he thinks. Again, the mind. What Mother Parvati thinks, again, very beautiful. For her, this person who is coming to marry me, he is the one who's controlling all these creatures. Person with one eye, person with two heads, person with an eye on the stomach, person with four hands, person with ten legs, all sorts of creatures. That's right. If you say Shivaganas, you will find everyone in that. Pishachas, then the Yakshas.
The entire creation, all organisms.
All types of. not only beings like human beings.
Yes.
All beings. Exactly. Pishachas, goblins, everything.
Amoeba to whatever.
Yes.
So, she will be fascinated by. This person is someone who is
Pashupati.
Pashupati. He's the one who's controlling all of them. Like, and with one word of them, they can just give up their life for him. So that is his power. from the heart she understood what was Shiva.
Mm.
Because he worked from the mind. He told, what is this? Yes. He's all shabby, all dirty, all horrifying creatures around him. So probably there's a choice. Daksha had a choice. Daksha took the choice of the mind. Mother Pati took the choice of the heart. And she became the mother of the universe.
Yes.
Because of that.
Absolutely. Wow.
Wonderful. There's another anecdote that comes up in my mind. It's about how hurriedly we react to a situation. That's where again, goes back to the previous point and also relates to this point, being vigilant and mind acts hurriedly.
Mm.
What happens is there's this father who has got a new car and his son actually loves that particular car. And so as a birthday gift for his son, is actually, probably not even in his teens, 9 years old or 10 years old. And he brings the car and parks in the garage and calls the son to come and see the car. And one side the father is explaining to him, he hears that on the other side of the car, somebody is scratching very badly on the car, the newly bought car.
Mm-hmm.
He sees his own son scratching the car.
Oh my God.
And that too, this boy loves that particular brand of car and that particular color so much, and the new car is like this.
Mm.
In his bout of anger, he crushes the child's fingers with a big hammer.
Mm.
And of course, after that, he feels bad about it, but you can't. No, once done, it's done.
Mm.
They take the child to the hospital. And after putting the child in the hospital, they call an ambulance actually. So he comes back home to take the car to, wherever, the paint shop or whatever. And he sees what's written on that side of the car. The boy has scratched actually, "I love you, Dad."
Beautiful. Mm.
So the boy actually didn't know how to express it. So this was the way he expressed it. If the father had looked at it prior to actually reacting by hammering the child's fist or whatever, fingers, probably the story would have been in a different direction.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, just to continue with the Bali story, I mean, we know that how Bali sort of reacted, sending Sugriva out of the kingdom, and not only that, the wrong act that he also did is, he did not allow Sugriva's wife to go along with Sugriva, and he kept Sugriva's wife with him, and all those sort of misdeeds happened because of that moment of anger and acting hastily. And if he had not acted like that, we don't know how the story would have been. Probably he would have been the instrument to join Rama and to get Mother Sita back,
No, incidentally,
we never know, but I'm just saying.
Probably this is an aside, may not be related to what we discuss. Now, about the valor of Vali.
Yes.
It is said that Ravana used to fear Vali.
Yes.
Mm.
Apparently, once when Vali was doing his Sandhya rituals, the Sandhya Vandan, Ravana goes to him for help.
Mm.
Both of them are really, are good acharanas, like they do their duties, at least the Sandhya duties and all
the
that.
Daily ablutions
and rituals, prayers, rituals and all that. So after Ravana finishes his rituals, he goes to him. And we have something called Argyam. So you turn to various directions, Digdevata Vandanam and all that. You'll have to turn to various directions and perform Argyam and all that.
Offerings.
So Argyam is like you take water and offer to sun.
Mm.
So in the morning you will do it facing the east, and in the evening you do it facing the west. It seems Vali, he was somewhere in the Vindhya, I think that area, right?
Yeah, Kishkindha, correct.
Kishkindha. Yeah. So in order to go to offer the Argyam, he would take a jump, and if it is in the evening, he will go towards the Arabian Sea. He'll jump to that coast.
Oh.
Okay. And offer the Argyam that side. If it's in the morning, he would go to the other side, Bay of Bengal, and offer the Argyam.
Oh, wow.
At that point in time, when Ravana comes in, he is about to jump to do the Argyam. He lifts Ravana, puts him under his armpit, to make him silent and jumps, performs all the rituals and then comes back and speaks to him. So to that extent, Vali was so powerful.
So powerful, yes.
More than Ravana.
But such a powerful Vali, when in that moment, when he lost his cool and he became angry and he acted hurriedly, as Swami says, then, you know, he lost the chance to be an instrument of Rama, perhaps, you know, and he committed so many sins, which was so unfortunate, so unbecoming of such a great person that he was. So I think the scriptures are full of such tales, and I think this is something that each one of us every day can relate to, in the sense that, you know, there are times when we lose our cool, there are times when we get angry, there are times when suddenly we have lost it, lost our patience or lost our...
Whatever you're describing, Bhagavad Gita, Shambhavar had actually told in the beginning. A beautiful sloka which actually sums up all these things. Krodhat bhavati samohaha means with anger you get confusion. Samoha smriti vibhramaha. So it actually destroys your discrimination power. Smriti vibhramashat buddhinasho buddhinashat pranashyati. After that you are ruined.
Correct.
So exactly the way you told about Vali, it actually fits into this sloka of Bhagavad Gita.
Absolutely.
And no, in this specifically Swami says, remember Lord's name.
Yes.
And try to do some good deed.
Good deed, yes.
So, it doesn't come just like that. For that, you need constant practice.
Yes.
So, that is where Swami, when he speaks about Namasmarana, he tells about that beautiful story, Chinnakatha, where a merchant gets hold of a genie. And that genie says, as long as you give me work,
yes,
I'll be doing the work. I'll do it immediately. Whatever it is, I'll do. But the moment you stop giving me work, I'll eat you. And then what happens? This guy says, okay, build me a big palace. In no time, the palace is built. Okay, make a big feast. In no time, it's done. So he, he has a list of what is to be done and he runs out of that. He immediately rushes to his guru and then asks, what do I do? He says, there's a very good thing to do. You ask it to build a wall. He says, but immediately it will be done. What will I do after that? He says, tell it to climb up. Once it reaches up, let it come down. Go up, go down. Go up, go down. And whenever you have a chore to be performed, just call. Do it and go back to your... thing. So that is your primary responsibility. That exactly Swami says, that genie is nothing but your mind. And the wall is a nama or a rupa, name or the form. You say, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, keep going up and down. And the moment you have to do something, step aside, but you have to have that thought going on in the background, and you come back. So that way, if we are like that, at any point of distress, it's during a point of distress that we actually act hurriedly.
Yes.
We will not end up doing a bad activity. We'll obviously do a good deed.
Yes. Just add, Swami had given one more beautiful interpretation about this. He talks about Mirabai. He talks about that one song which he sings, Chalo Man Ganga Jamuna Tir. Ganga Jamuna Sheetal Pani. Sorry, Ganga Jamuna Nirmal Pani, Sheetal Hot Shari. Swami actually says, yes. Ganga Jamuna, nothing but our two breaths.
Yes.
So, you just remember Soham. Remember, keep your mind always concentrated on your breath. So, what happens? Because of that, basically the Ganga Jamuna are the two breaths. And when you actually do that practice, your mind becomes Sheetal Hot Shari. So, your whole mind, your whole being becomes calm and cool.
Absolutely. And I think... the power and potency of the name of the Lord, and how once you chant the name of the Lord, automatically you start doing good things, as Brother Shyam said. I think that is something that once you practice it, you will experience. The other thing that also came to me is where Swami is telling, you know, don't allow the mind to go away. I remember some time ago, there was this brother, who was going through a lot of... life, a lot of problems in his domestic life, and you know, he was going through really very tough times. And I remember, you know, he used to come to Parthi often, then, and I started talking to him because I saw that he was very disturbed, you know. And then I thought how to help him. And then I said, you know, why don't you get involved with the Satyasaya organization and, you know, start doing some service or something. Because at that point in time, he was going crazy because of what was happening in his personal life, you know. And once I told him that and he started involving himself with the organization, everything changed to such an extent that, you know, all of these negativity melted away. Even though the negativity was still there, even though that problem was still on for quite some time, he eventually became a youth leader. He became the youth coordinator for the state, and he did a lot of fantastic work. And he did something for the organization which nobody had done. And even now he's much valued in the organization for his contribution. And even now he's a district president. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, how when we are tempted to do something which will only incapacitate us, especially in our times of weakness, especially in our times of mind not being in control. Mm. I think those are the times when we have to make that concerted effort to do something good, chant the name and do something good, and then we'll see how life will change. And I think this is something that I also tell to many parents, you know, when they say the child's mind is all the time distracted, you know. Of course, you can't ask that kind of a child to start do meditation, or you sit for some who are interested in music probably might like bhajans, but otherwise, you know, to ask them to do dhyana or to ask them to read a scripture is probably difficult, you know, because the mind is already somewhere else. But perhaps what is possible to do is go out and help someone. You know, go and participate in service activities, you know, something like that. Perhaps I think is an easier way to sort of divert and engage the mind till the time that it relishes the joy of chanting the name and the joy of, you know, being in tune with the divine.
And in fact, the mind and the breath are very much interrelated. So whenever we are in, in a bout of anger or too many rapid thoughts or some deep sorrowful thinking or all that, at that point in time we can watch the breath. Mm. It would be very fast.
Shallow also.
Shallow also, yeah. It will not be deep. It will just come up and down quickly. The same thing, like you said, the child. Okay, if the child is interested in music and it focuses, you know, whether it is bhajans or any kind of music, which calms the mind, how would, you know, immediate reflection of that would be in the breath. The breath would be deep and the breath would be slow. So I think these two, mind and breath, also, you know, go hand in hand.
Yes, I think that's what also any chanting helps that way. Now once you start a chant, you know, chanting the Gayatri Mantra, for example, you know, slowly you will find that your breath becomes slower, and you know, slowly it is like trying to tap the energy of the Atma, the energy of the spirit within, to trying to, because, you know, to deal with the vagaries of the mind, to deal with the forces of the world, you need a greater energy. You need a greater power. And that is when we need to tap the power of the spirit to deal with the vicissitudes of the mind.
No, you know, best example for how to control the mind, I think, Shushanga Sai sir, he was a warden when we were studying, and you know, this was a burning thought in his mind, because he was a warden of around 350 young bubbling students, like youth, yes. Youthful energy. Yes. So he was once sharing that he asked Swami, so many boys are there, how to keep them always, like, how to make their mind which goes astray to get it back to you or get it back to something good. Swami told never allow them to remain idle at all. Always give them some work and keep them always busy. And what he was sharing, if you actually see, I think we had discussed this before also, if you come back to the hostel schedule which Swami has himself made, you will never get time to even think, because everything is so packed from morning to night.
Yes.
And it's, Swami has himself drafted each and every activity. So
yes.
We can get a cue from this, that from morning 5 o'clock till you hit the bed at 11 o'clock, yes, tired, you should be busy. And you should be so busy that just sleep.
Yes.
And sleep like a log.
Yes.
And again, get back again.
Completely refreshed.
Incidentally, that kind of a sleep, in all my 41 years of life, probably those 7 years in hostel, I was like, hit the bed and go to sleep.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
It never happened later. It didn't happen before.
You're so tired.
Yeah. Because you do so many activities, so many different type of activities.
Absolutely.
And I then, think, I, because I think what can be the best testimony or example that you are making the young minds, young energetic bubbling minds, do this so much of work and still get tired and do it properly with a focus on Swami. So when you can achieve that in the hostel as a student here, if you just take a little bit a leaf out of this outside and you go, wherever you go, it'll be so easy for you to actually lead a life. I don't know, Shyamalar can throw some light on that, how helpful it would have been being outside, coming from the hostel.
And definitely, no, we have discussed this earlier also, the hostel schedule or the routine that we have had, that has always helped. Now, you speak to any alumnus, probably during the time that we were in the hostel, we would have felt that it is a bit strenuous.
Yes.
But actually, it's a workshop where we get tuned very well and we are able to do our daily routines back at home properly.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I think even later on in life, I believe that even if you, of course, you cannot follow the hostel schedule in its entirety, but even if you take some parts of the hostel schedule and see if you can follow that even later in your life.
Not exactly the activities, but the spirit of what Swami says, keep your mind always busy.
Keep
your mind always busy.
Yes.
Once if you actually follow that, probably...
Simultaneously, see, probably in the hostel, when we keep ourselves busy, it's always on, always on good deeds.
Yes.
But it might end up that you keep yourself busy with bad deeds.
Without saying, you have to do it.
So,
like that.
Again, coming back to what was our objective in our student days or hostel life, it was whatever you do it to please Swami.
Yes.
Yes.
I think that is the key. So,
absolutely.
Again, now here when he says, you should control the mind, and because of its hurry only, you end up performing bad deeds. That's where, before you think of anything, or before a thought gets transformed to a word, and the word gets transformed to action, or thought gets transformed to action also, just put a test in front of it. No, have a filter.
Yes.
Will this be approved by Swami? Will Swami approve of this? And then do it. There are two things that happen here. One is you have a test, and then if it fails, you will not take it forward. That's good. The other is your mind is always not on a run. Again, no, we can come back to this point of stillness of mind or calmness of we pause. We pause and then reflect whether this is good or bad. In fact, really recently we were going through some parenting techniques. In Harvard, there is this technique called serve and return for a child. First time I heard about it, my understanding was completely different. It was not related to parenting. So actually in that, what they're saying is, when you interact with a child, it's like tennis or a badminton. So you serve and then it comes back return. So that is how you engage with a child in parenting. If you look at it from this perspective, mind's perspective, assume mind is down on the other side. You throw something, if it's a direction that you are throwing, unless you serve, it's not going to return back. So if you have a bad thought that's coming up to do something bad, do not serve it. Serve it to a different direction. That's what Swami says. Directed towards a good deed rather than doing a bad deed. That will bounce back to you.
Yes.
And that becomes a different cycle altogether rather than a vicious cycle.
Yes. And I think the important thing is serve. If you can serve,
absolutely,
then everything will be sorted out.
In fact, in tennis, love all. Swami's message is
absolutely
there.
Wonderful. So,
I think we just did only 17, I think.
No, yeah.
Sort of, we would have 16 and 17. We didn't go up ahead after that.
Yeah, I think we'll continue this. Well, there is so much in each of these points, and in a way, you know, it always feels like that. You know, you take one thing of Swami and you feel everything is encapsulated in that.
Yes.
But these are just different means and opportunities for us to dwell on His message and see, again, reiterate and embolden ourselves to walk on this path. Thank you so much, brothers Bhargav and Shyam. And dear listeners, if you have any queries and if you want to contribute to this discussion, please feel free. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Offering this little endeavor at His lotus feet with all humility and love, we bring this session to a close. Thank you so much for being with us through this journey.